Blog Talk Radio.
It's Friday. Do you know where your IT guys are? We don't. It's Patch and Switch. And now, two guys who couldn't make it as workers in the produce department because, well, bacon isn't produce. It's Patch and Switch. Well, we're back. Happy Friday, everybody. Glad to see everybody can join us in the chat room. Switch is somewhere. He was here. I think he walked out of the room to get coffee, and I believe, actually looking out the window of the secret bunker, he's chatting with people, and we're on the air. So make sure that everybody chastise him when he comes back. Shout out to everybody who's joined us so far in the chat room. Want to say hello to Angry John, Bartolo, Esposito. Jay Shock, as always, is here. Mr. Beckman, as is Ludwig, who is on a plane heading to Disney World in Florida. Oh, I see that you finally ended your conversation and decided to join the show.
We started.
Yeah, we started like 2 minutes ago.
Oh, my goodness. I'm here. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Anyway, so Ludwig doesn't have audio, so he's just chatting in the show. So somebody will have to translate. Well, he's on a plane.
I can't believe you started the show.
Well, what am I supposed to do? The show starts at 9.
I guess it's set to auto start.
Well, what do you think I'm going to do, not start the show just because you're getting coffee?
I was talking to about 5 different people. They wouldn't let me go. And the coffee machine was late. So, I don't know. I'm out of sorts.
Right.
Thank you for having me on.
Glad to see you can actually take the time. So, anyway, also want to shout out to Frederick, if I didn't say hello to Frederick. Good evening, sir, to you. It's Beer 30 where Frederick is.
Beer 30 where Frederick is. Almost the weekend.
I am having a hard time adjusting.
Yeah,
having come back from vacation.
Yeah, I'm in this altered state reality as well, because for the last week I've been at a conference, and the hotel that I was staying at was Universal Studios styled hotel.
Yeah,
in Florida, and I felt like I was on the set of Mad Men. Like I needed to have like a wet bar with old fashions inside of it, yeah. Big cigar smoking tray, stuff like that. I took a picture of it and put it on Twitter a little while ago. It's hilarious. It was 1950s and 60s styled hotel.
Oh, nice.
Down to the VO5 shampoo inside.
No.
Miniature VO5 shampoo bottles inside the shower and Zest soap.
Are you serious?
This is what they gave you. It's hilarious. Absolutely hilarious.
Okay, so that's awesome that a hotel would actually take something like
down
that.
Down to that level.
Yeah,
down
that's fantastic.
So I figured I would tell 2 friends. And then they could tell 2 friends, and so on,
and so on,
and so on, and so on. I had to go there. I'm sorry.
That's all right. That's all right. It's interesting. Ludwig is actually going to listen back to the show. So he asked how Disneyland was for me. He's on his way to Disney World, which is the Florida version.
So one's East Coast, one's West Coast.
Correct.
And basically the same park?
No. Completely different.
So what's the difference between the two parks?
Well, so
if you could do it in 10 seconds.
Disney World has like 18 different parks. Disneyland, there's actually 2. There's the Disneyland Appropriate and California Adventure. Disney World is an entirely different thing. So audio engineer is saying that there may be audio issues. Is anybody listening? Can anybody hear us? That's the question. Oh, well, obviously Mr. Beckman can hear us because he says Disneyland and Disney World are not the same, and Frederick says we're on. Okay, so we're good.
You could type in that chat room and actually ask them the question if you needed to.
Well, but see, that's the thing. We want to know if they can actually hear me speaking, not seeing me in a chat.
Frederick says it works over in Europe.
Okay, there we go. So we're on the air.
So I'm concerned if our audio engineer is hearing ghost problems, and we're going to be investing more in the audio engineer. Can we trust them to actually run this audio gear? I mean, we had a little bit of a problem this morning getting this thing set up.
Bartolo, I'm going to completely disagree with your comment that he says Disney World is better. I wish it was in the West Coast. I don't actually subscribe to that belief.
Okay, so wait a second.
Disney World, you went
to Land or World?
I went to Disneyland in California.
And Land has 18 parks.
No, Disneyland has 2.
2 parks.
Yep, California Adventure and Disneyland.
Okay, so California
Disneyland
and West
is the
Coast
original.
Is Land.
It was the first park that Walt Disney opened. And so Disney himself was not actually alive when Walt Disney World was created.
World was after.
Correct.
And it was by the conglomerate company that is Mickey Mouse?
Well, it's, he had designs for it, but he didn't actually have hands-on into the,
okay.
into the park.
I got it.
But at any rate, it's a personal thing. Everybody has their own opinion. Disney World is awesome because there's like a bunch of water parks. There's MGM Studios. There's Animal Kingdom. There's a lot of stuff going on.
I don't think I've ever... No, I know I've never been to that one.
Magic Kingdom is close to the Disneyland park.
Did you and I go to the gift shop or something there?
Yes.
In Tech Ed Days or Downtown Disney?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. So at any rate, yes, I enjoyed it. I had a fantastic time. It was very, very empty on Friday. Basically were able to ride every ride, see every show that we wanted to do.
Good.
And then the weekend it picked up because... there was a marathon. They did the Avengers, the first ever, and it will now be annual Avengers superhero marathon, half marathon, and 5K.
Nice.
I actually found out because people were wearing their finisher medals throughout the park, and I was talking to somebody who was behind us in one of the lines, and she had a couple of the finisher medals, and then she had one that was gold, and all the other ones that I had seen were silver. That is because she ran both the half marathon and the full marathon.
Wow. Very impressive. Now, did she do
in the same weekend?
Did she do it in costume?
Yes, actually, I do believe that she did dress up. Yes, but a half marathon and a full marathon.
If you were
a full weekend,
if
that
you
is
were gonna,
brutal.
If you were gonna run this,
yes.
this thing, what would
yes.
you be when you dress up? Would you dress up as
Spider-Man? One of my favorite Avengers is Iron Man, but that costume can't be comfortable to run a marathon in, right?
Oh man, he wouldn't run. He'd just go.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and fly. They can't see
no.
your hands.
No.
It's radio. It's radio. I don't know that I dress up. Maybe wear a Captain America shirt or something. But like, I'm not a runner. I mean, I can occasionally play one on a treadmill.
I've seen you run in the airport.
What are you talking about? You can't keep up with me.
Let's just say that I can't keep up with it because you got like long legs that are like 6 miles long. And,
yes.
you know, when we both run in the airport, you can tell that we're not exactly athletic. We come from a...
athletically. I don't know what you're talking about.
We come from a an ice hockey style...
Bartolo, the Flash. Tradition. Yeah, that's pretty good. But the Flash is not Marvel, buddy. It's DC. Mm. And Marvel's owned by Disney. You want to probably stick with the Marvel character.
Can I get that napkin over there? I made a spillage over here. It's got to stay away from the surface. Sorry.
So not only is he showing up late to the show, he's spilling coffee all over the bunker. All right, we should probably jump into the show because we've talked for 7 minutes about, well, absolutely nothing, which is actually pretty much what we talk about the entire rest.
That's our intro. That's what we do.
Yeah, oh, the intro. That's right.
You got it. So now the first official section.
It is a call-in show, so you can join us unless you're Ludwig and on an airplane. He cannot call in because he can't even listen. But he's in the chat room.
646-595-4888. So if you want to use plain old POTS line, or if you are signed into Blog Talk Radio with an account, inside the main page, there is a little button that says Skype, and that does the Skype thing through the proper channel so it actually shows up somewhere. Don't bother trying to actually ping us on Skype directly because I can't answer because I'm on the phone. Just in case you're wondering. But honestly, the best way to interact with us is the chat room.
Yeah.
And the chat room is filling up with more people.
It is, absolutely.
And the chat room simply is, again, the on the window is there. So one of the reasons why I was late, I will say this just one last time, because it is kind of related to the show. I was talking to Duncan.
Yes.
Duncan, in case you don't know, is the one of the head guys at Channel 9. And they've been courting us. They've been courting the Patch and Switch show.
I don't know why.
I don't know why, but for some reason they would like to actually get the Patch and Switch show on Channel 9.
Again.
I guess they like us during the live shows and we're at the different events. But anyway, I said, so Duncan, you realize that the biggest stock block right now is we have to have a chat window. We have to have chat capabilities and Channel 9 doesn't have chat capabilities. And he's like, no, I got a plan for that. And so he was explaining the plan and what it was. And I'm like, ooh, that makes sense. So
yeah,
he's thinking of the chat capabilities would be something along the lines of a chat room that I think Hanselman made and uses, and then simply embed that with separate tags on the actual page itself. So it wouldn't require a separate user account. It's simply the same user account you use for Channel 9.
Yeah.
It would be integrated into the page, so you don't have to go to a second location to be able to go off and run it and have access to it. And is fully, I don't know, .NET-ified, Java-ified. I don't know what it is because I'm not a developer, but it's all modern stuff. It's not like an IRC channel that you have to have a separate client off and working for. So.
As Jay Shock is like, in the chat room, IRC just worked.
Yeah,
Frederick is like, should be possible to use IRC.
Whatever. So that's possible. It's coming. Who knows if that ever will come to fruition. But
Bartolo,
why not
use hashtag Twitter for chat? We've done that, actually,
in the
show, but it's very delayed.
Yeah, it's very, very delayed. As I try to pull up my Twitter window to make sure no one's talking to us on that channel. So I have been at conferences. You have been on vacation. Have we done a lot of work from the trenches at all this week?
I don't know. Have you done anything?
Well, I did for
the conference. So you were doing work.
I was doing work.
I was not working.
No. So
I was not providing technical support to the folks at Mickey Land.
Well, you could have done some kind of bartering system or something like that.
Are you kidding? It's Disney.
I've done consulting.
I just handed them my wallet.
We did some chatting and consulting last year with some of the folks from Radio Disney, if you remember.
Yes, absolutely.
That was kind of cool when we were down in the neck of the woods.
Yep.
The thing I've been working on actually was simply making sure that some of my demos are working, rebuilding some of my demo design, and the coolest thing about attending this conference, I was at Live 360 Tech Mentor, it was called.
Oh yeah.
Was the fact that I wasn't responsible for anything at the conference except my sessions. So I could actually sit in a conference session and watch other people's sessions.
How was that?
It was amazing. Absolutely amazing to be able to do that. And obviously I could go off and talk to people at breaks like I do anyway, which is quite cool. But it was, our good friend Don Jones.
Yes,
the president and CEO of PowerShell.org, among other things. Now he's a head of curriculum for IT pro infrastructure type folks over at Pluralsight, I believe. He did a great session on DSC, Desired State Configuration.
So I guess he's kind of stolen everything from Jeopardy.
Well,
or created some new stuff.
The PowerShell
right?
community has been collaboratively working on a whole bunch of stuff, right?
Right.
And so he's obviously one of the main people inside the PowerShell community. The cool thing that he was saying that was actually very, and I love his style because I've never actually seen him present before. I've only ever read his stuff.
Oh, really?
That, right. So
it's
the first
time
I've seen him.
Yeah.
So he basically is like he was like brass tacks and blunt, and he basically just said, "So, you've been in the IT industry now, probably for the last couple of years." And you've been listening to us talk about how you have to know PowerShell and do PowerShell and understand PowerShell and automate with PowerShell and how that's very, very important. You know, that's one thing. And he says, you probably could have, slid through and just kind of brushed the surface and know enough to be able to use it. He says, you could get by with that. You can't get by in the future without knowing DSC. Like, basically, get on board, understand this thing, and if you don't, be prepared. He's very, very blunt about it.
And how did that go? I mean, I know the Tech Mentor audience is typically not large-scale enterprise.
Correctly. No, they're not. But, again, a lot of the questions, a lot of the topics I was talking about involved, how to prepare for the future, how to make sure that your skills are up to date and things like that. And I wholeheartedly agree with them. I don't know to the same level of passion that he has around DSC, but I'm like, well, you know what? I'm one of those guys that has just kind of floated by and have been working with PowerShell as much as I need to, and when I have projects that come up, I'll use PowerShell as my go-to tool, but I'm a hack, like most people, where I just find scripts, do Bing searches and find them, and then use little pieces here and there, do different things, and that's all good, but he's like, you can't do that with ESC anymore. You actually have to understand how this thing works, and his principle is basically like, the idea behind it is, in case you have not understood anything about PowerShell DSC at all, is like, you go in, there are resources. It started off with like 12. It's been growing steadily. And now in PowerShell 4, coming into preview of PowerShell 5, there's over 150 different resources that you can now use, that you can now apply against your machines to do stuff. And the idea is, like, for me and you, when we build demos, we're doing stuff, why are we not using DSC to say...
Because it wasn't available when we were building these demos.
Yes, no, I hear you.
Right?
I hear you. But he's like... You need to be using PowerShell DSC as an idea of, and like in the future, if you're going to build a server, you got your base template, and then you simply say, go, make it so, against your specific MOF file you've created with DSC. So, news flash, I am now basically have some cycles available to me to be able to use my brain.
Is it a crash course in DSE?
The best place to go is, obviously, get a foundational understanding of how PowerShell works if you don't already know that. So, you know, get that up and going. But the DSE thing is basically to PowerShell.org, and then they have free ebooks. And he's, you know, the funny thing is he's an author, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, don't bother with the dead tree books. They're already out of date.
Yeah, they're
with
the out way of date the minute they go to press, right?
And so he's like, you know, by the time you're done, by the time we were done writing, you know, 30 hours of lunches over a month for PowerShell that he wrote before with Jeffrey Hicks, it's like, it's out of date already. It's out of date as soon as it hits the shelves. So all the community authors are contributing to these ebooks, and they have an ebook specifically on DSC. It's just called the DSC Book. And you can get it.
What's it called?
DSC Book.
Oh. Okay.
You can get it from PowerShell.org. It's absolutely free.
Apparently, they don't have a marketing org because that title makes too much sense.
They have it available, and they update it at least every couple of months as things change. So you can come back and get it.
DSC is changing like rapidly.
Oh, it's insane.
Rapidly.
So he also explained the naming convention for the resources. X is basically Microsoft. C is community driven, and then eventually Microsoft works with the community to change it from a C to an X, if it makes sense. And more product teams from the big stick of Mr. Snover are making their stuff work with DSC out of the box. So you'll be able to say, oh, SharePoint deploy, boom, DSC package, done, because they've already done all the heavy lifting and work with the PowerShell stuff. Now, of course, our audio engineer is sitting there looking at us and just kind of shrugging his shoulders, yeah, sort of, not really. But it's like, they've got the foundation there, and now it's slowly coming to be able to come to fruition where stuff is going to be there. I mean, picture it. You could say, here's five machines that are going up in Azure. Boom. Here's how they have to be configured. Boom, 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 boom. Done.
Yeah.
Very, very, very cool. And so,
it's interesting. Kyle Beckman noted in the chat room that there's a Dell switch coming out that can be configured with DSC.
Oh, yeah. And that's the funny thing. Like obviously, you can go off and config Linux distros with DSC if you want to, because it's industry standard MOF files, which are actually governed by DMTF, Desktop Management Task Force.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
not Microsoft.
Right.
So, cool crap. Cool
yeah,
crap.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. So, apart from the book, I mean, are there some tips and tricks that were offered up to get started quickly, or?
He said basically start small. And the best thing you can do is you need to have a web server up to be able to be the host for where you store your MOF files and where the DSC client goes and checks in.
Yeah.
And he said basically your task after this session is to go off and to build yourself a 2012 web server inside your environment that basically is going to be your DSC box and use DSC to make it. He's like, there's your challenge. Go. I'm like, that makes so much sense. So after this show, I've got about two or three video interviews I got to do, and then I've got some other little bit of stuff going on. Psh, done. I'm going.
Yeah.
I'm jumping in. Jumping in, buddy.
All right. Okay.
Jumping in.
All right. Well, you say that now, but there's actually a project I have signed you up for.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. You know, because before the show, you were actually out talking and having coffee, and we didn't get a chance to sync up beforehand. So
yeah.
There's actually a technical project in Azure that with a partner that we need to work on.
Oh,
so,
great.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, so you've been signed up for that. So maybe your DSC cycles will be in the evening because I've already signed you up. But anyway.
Damn it!
it's kind of interesting, and this is not my area of expertise, but, you know, Frederick jumps into the chat room and says, a dim future for SCCM with...
They had an awesome session that I also watched, or at least heard of on the Twitters. I watched the last bit of it, where they had Devil's Advocate. Greg Shields was...
Yes, Greg's a good guy.
...was pro SCCM.
Yeah.
And Don Jones was con SCCN. Go. And that was their session. It was a debate back and forth about why this, why that, what's going to happen, what's not going to happen. And it's all conjecture, not backed up by fact. It was
right.
just purely their opinion from working in the industry and
sure.
being consultants and stuff like that. And apparently it was awesome. Absolutely awesome. The talk they're talking about.
I would have loved to have been in that one. I
yes.
wouldn't.
Yes.
DSC is the future. Absolutely. Though systems management as a whole and configuration management is.
You don't use DSC as an example to replace group policy.
Right.
They said absolutely this is not what you do not want to deploy software and updates with DSC. It's not what it's for.
Right.
It's there for configuration.
It's base install, right?
It's basically take your
base install slash config of like a base image, and then from that point
it's reliable, repeatable, scalable, massive configurations or individual configurations, as well as not a compliance check, but like something's going wrong. You can just go in and do a contrast with what should be there, and it can say, oh, well, this has changed and this has changed, and this is the person that did it.
See, now that's cool.
That's
right.
Neat.
That's kind of a change management kind of thing.
So I can find out that my audio engineer has gone off and done something with IaaS or something like that to make it work better. I don't know. So that's possible.
Excuse me. Sorry.
Nice. We don't have a cough button.
No, we don't.
We need to request a cough button and a sneeze button. And a beer drinking button. Press the button. Takes us out. That could work.
This
is like the DSC. This is not supposed to be the DSC episode.
Well, no, but
you can tell I'm passionate about it.
No, that was cool, and I wanted to hear kind of where the information that you got from, the community, because really that was a community event. What other things did you take away from that? I mean, it's interesting because a lot of times when we do the larger events, the tech ads and so even some of the other third-party events, we talk a lot to larger enterprise customers.
Mm-hmm.
But the great thing about events like 360 Live, Tech Mentor, is that they're smaller. You get to talk to a lot of education. You get to talk to a lot of people.
Education. I'm not going to say that it's not just small, medium. That's for sure. There definitely are some larger ones that are in there, but
sure.
But not super large, or it's just small fractions of super large. The interesting thing that I found was a lot of people that went to Tech Mentor for this audience that I was talking to had upwards of 10, 15 years experience in the industry. They were not like newbies coming in. They had been in there a long time.
Yeah, they've been around.
And so, as I mentioned, there was an underlying theme of stuff that I was talking about, and the keynote that I did there as well was around tweaking your skills and your experiences
right. So
that they're more so that you can make them more relevant inside, you know, the world that we live in today and the world that's coming down the pipe.
Right.
And those were very well received, and those were a lot of hard-won conversations that I was having about stuff like that. And it was also an encouragement, even from the other guys at the conference, about dabbling outside of your area of expertise. I mean, if you are the SharePoint guy or gal, that's all you do, guess what? You should probably spend some time and understand how Windows Server works underneath it. You should probably spend some time and understand some of the peripheral technologies around it as well to expand your scope about what you do. And that was also very well received from a messaging perspective to go off and try doing that. So that was kind of cool.
What was the was there a common theme to the questions that were asked of you during your session or post session in your hallway conversation?
Well, there was I did a session on obviously Server 2003 end of life.
Right.
And lots of people had moved most of their infrastructure off of it. And as you know, a lot of the people that still have it are the ones that have 2003 set up for a special application that someone made, or for a in-house application, or a third-party application. The third-party no longer exists and that sort of stuff. How to migrate off of those from a common perspective that was in that one, obviously. The questions that I was getting were mostly around some of the newer technologies. I'm a big, huge fan of storage. So
yes, you are.
I had a very big storage discussion with a number of people
right. About
different things and design considerations of how to do storage, and also some of the newer stuff with vNext server with storage as well.
Okay.
I kind of teased them with a bit of some stuff that was in there of newer technologies people should look at. I mean, the idea is the industry is commoditizing the way that a lot of these technologies that used to require these big, massive specialties is bringing them to the masses for everyone to be able to use. And you can start to upgrade your skill set you've got by learning some of these technologies and bringing them inside your projects where it makes sense. So good stuff on storage, good stuff on other hardware platform advances, mm-hmm. and things like that.
Nice. Sounds like a good week.
It was
or
a busy
a couple
week.
Days.
It was a busy
were you
week.
There a week? Or how long were you there?
Monday flew out Thursday, so I was in and out very quick. Came back last night on a late plane. Nice tailwind. I got in quite quickly. Is it that time already?
It is. Hang on.
There it is.
Ah, yes.
I almost threw this coffee over my shoulder.
It's time now for our second segment of the show known as Beer Money. This is where we talk about personal support, private support, things that we do for our neighbors, our friends of neighbors, our neighbors' friends, our family's neighbors' friends. Because we're IT guys, and once somebody figures out you're an IT guy, you of course have to do support. So, have you managed the last show we talked about the malware infection? Have you managed to overcome the malware infection?
You know how I've overcome it? I've told them just to turn the machine off until Daddy gets home.
So apparently you didn't spend any time over the last 2 weeks.
No, my wife and chief financial controller and CEO of the family, she basically has said, she's given me a deadline. She said the IT department had better resolve this issue by Sunday or there will be severe repercussions and penalties applied.
You have not met your SLA.
No. Especially because all the kids are now using her machine because the other machines aren't up and going. And so I will be looking after that.
So the question is, how are you going to deal with this issue? Are you going to actually fight it or are you just going to wipe and replace?
Scorched earth policy, my friend.
That's
like,
awesome.
You know, there's in most, well, in the consumer side of things, at least, also in the business side of things, too, most machines are just shells of what you're doing. Like when I deploy a new machine for me, I get it up. If I domain join it or not, doesn't really matter. It depends on what I'm doing. But all my files are on OneDrive for Business or they're on OneDrive Public. And my apps come down because I have an Office 365 subscription, so they get installed and updated automatically in my system. I throw a couple of apps on my laptop and then boom, I'm up and working. It's done. So there's nothing unique on that one system other than the fact that there are four or five Microsoft accounts that are allowed to sign on to it. And so I'm literally just going to go in and scorched earth policy. I might go down to Fry's and buy one of the cheap SSD drives that are around. And just
good time to be buying hardware right now.
Because inside that HP box, more than likely, it's like a 4,800 RPM drive, some El Cheapo, small, slow, cranking away kind of drive. And if I put an SSD into that thing for like $100 or $50, $80, it'll be like a new system all over again.
Hey, I want to send a big shout out to Tom Kupka, who has joined us. Also McGuigit has joined us.
You know Tom?
I believe we met. The audio engineer is nodding his head saying, yeah, you know
it's
him.
It's like I haven't seen him in the chat room. That's new.
Well,
that's
nice. We've got a new listener. First time listener. Hang on. I think we
shout
have,
out. Do we have a sound for that?
Here, we'll do this. There you go.
For every new listener to Patch and Switch, an angel gets its wings.
This is the season.
Yes.
We've met Tom at TechEd. He's crew.
Yes.
K-R-E-W-E crew.
You got it, man.
Let's see. What else do we have going on?
What about you? Do you have any beer money stuff?
So I have...
Was there tech support? What was the tech profile of the Disney visit?
Okay.
And for...
I have to...
You know,
all right.
What was it, man?
You brought it up. And this is kind of goes more toward random spending, but we'll talk about it here.
Don't bleed the categories.
There were essentially three phone devices in use at all times while there. The youngest didn't want to bring her phone. She has one.
So you brought along a rolling generator.
No. I picked up, I told you this in the last show, I was going to pick up one of the Anchor devices. I ended up picking up the 13,000 milliamp battery that came with the little 2-amp charger. So we charged the battery and brought it, and it just stayed in the backpack. And every day, all three devices would charge at least one time because when we're, you know, day one wasn't too bad because there weren't a lot of lines day one. We were just, you know, writing, not really using the phones. But starting day two, the crowd started picking up, so we ended up spending a lot of time in line, and we were playing games and, you know, doing, you know, like charades and that kind of different apps and things going on, looking online, checking sports scores, so on and so forth. So we kept charging the phones. The one thing that I noticed on the last day as we were prepping to go to the park, the battery, even though we had charged the phones, all three phones at least once a day, the battery still had charge left in it. In fact, we went the entire 5 days there without ever having to recharge the big battery.
Impressive.
That was awesome. And just having access to it.
Yeah.
I can tell you, though, when Disneyland gets very, very busy, you may have signal, but you're not getting to the internet.
No, yeah.
Yeah, there is no G's there.
There was lots of texting then.
Yeah, it was a lot of, you know, coordination, texting. There's a cool app I wanted to try, but I'm wondering with the lack of data if it would actually work. But there's a GPS locator type app that would actually point out on the map where in Disneyland the
person is. Like Glimpse or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. But I'm not quite sure if the lack of data would have really done anything. Mr. Beckman saying Disney really needs to port their park app to the Windows phone. There is actually an app, and I want to say it was written by a Microsoft guy, but it's called Mouse Times or something like that. I'd have to look. It's actually wait times in the park.
Oh, nice.
And it's crowdsourced.
Yeah, yeah.
So what you do is, it's called Mouse Wait. So what you do is when you go in, let's say, for instance, I want to ride Splash Mountain or whatever, and you walk by, and I walk by and I say, oh, the wait's 15 minutes, right?
How do you know it's 15 minutes?
Well, so they've got wait trackers, or what I would do is I would actually get on, and I would keep track of the time, and then I would update it at that point.
Okay,
because a lot of times...
Oh,
some of the wait signs are like, it's 15 minutes enough.
Yeah,
right.
So the line's past that particular sign,
right,
then you know it's 15 minutes. Okay.
Right. Well, in this case, some of the newer rides, they are actually pretty close in terms of their timing.
Yeah.
Some of the signs are just like, from this point it's 15 minutes, and then you walk past that point another, 100 yards or whatever it is, and your wait time is 2.5 minutes. So keeping tabs on that, and then based on that, I believe, and the turnstile, they have a turnstile wait time, so when you go to initially go into the park, how long did it take to get in? They create a crowd index from 1 to 100 as to how busy the parks are. So it's really great. It's an awesome app. I used it every single day. I mean, if we were at one end of the park and we're like, oh, well, we want to go ride this ride, we would actually go and check to see how long the wait times were.
Cool.
To make a determination should we fast pass? Should we just ride the ride? So it was pretty cool.
So your tech support was around batteries and about ride times.
Yeah, it was.
Typical.
It was so awesome, and I had no email sync on the phone.
Yeah.
There were devices. We did bring one of the Surface devices, the RT device, to watch movies on the plane, and then of course I had my Surface Pro 3, but it never saw power. Once I got off the airplane. So I was using it to get caught up on some TV shows on the plane. I never turned it on inside the hotel. So there was really no need for tech support. And that battery, I was so impressed. I mean, to be able to charge 3 phones every day for 5 days, that was, and just not run out. It was awesome. It was awesome. We did charge it before we had left for the airport, because that day we spent the entire day in the park. And then we immediately went over, grabbed our luggage, threw it in the back of the car, and took off.
So I've got another question. It's sort of on the beer money, sort of kind of in random spending as well. I've noticed in the last week that Surface Pro 2s are on and available, sold by Microsoft, on eBay for $199.
Oh, really?
Surface Pro 2, full-fledged Intel-based laptop, $199. Because obviously we don't make them anymore. We don't sell them officially anymore. And I'm contemplating to ease the lineups in my house to use the dead computer that's now dead, getting a couple of the Pro 2s laying around. What do you think about that, man?
It depends.
Our audio engineer is holding up the $100 HP or whatever device it is, the Shiba device it is.
Well, and the other thing,
too
Dell
small,
has
no
a
keyboard
new
for the kids, right?
Okay, well, Dell, and I was going to say, Dell has a new version of the Venue 8.
Yeah.
I want to say it was $150 when I was
looking at it. So the requirements would be, it's got to be able to play Minecraft.
Yeah. You go with the Surface Pro 2.
It's got to have a keyboard.
Just go with the Surface Pro 2.
Yeah, I know. Something.
Yeah, just go with the Surface Pro 2. Kyle mentions that the Disney app, just to close off on this, it, on Android, iOS, is way more. The wait time's awesome, cool. Not quite sure how much I would get out of anything other than that, because we're kind of Disney-aholics, know the park inside and out. Wait time's about all we really need, but I'd be interested to check out the app. Audio engineer is throwing around his tablet.
Well, no, this is full Windows, not RT.
Full Windows, not RT. It's Pro. Yeah, yeah. Of but course. It's yeah.
And it's got Bluetooth.
It has Bluetooth.
True. Very true.
That is it, that mean, is true.
Not dissuading it.
So, you know what? I guess if you and I did see the Microsoft Store had some Black Friday deals. I saw Pro 2 on there as well.
We're doing some big stuff with Xbox One because it's 1 year anniversary, right?
Yeah, actually, we covered that in the Ping show yesterday.
Wow. See, I didn't see the. I didn't record the Ping show.
That show will be up probably today, maybe tomorrow.
Did you hear what happened to us?
I did, absolutely. We actually talked about it on the show. We've thrown you completely under the bus.
I should have saved that that video.
I know. That's what I said at the beginning of the show. We should have just played a little bit of that first.
I pressed record, and we basically were getting set up and doing mic checks and bantering back and forth about stuff. And then we literally started the show and ran out of tape.
Ran out of space.
7 minutes of us bantering about stuff. And then, you know, start the show, all the tape, done. Beep, 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 done. That's Beer Money. That's it. So that kind of brings us up to, do we talk about Beer Talk?
Well, we can talk today.
Yeah, like, I haven't.
Well, we should because we haven't talked about beer.
I've drank two beer this past week.
Two beer.
I drank three beer. Two of them were Heineken.
Hang on, before you go on that, huh? Frederick wonders if this Xbox stuff hit Sweden as well. Hashtag doubt it. Was Sweden one of the 13?
I don't know. I have to watch the Pink Show.
Frederick, if Xbox One was one of the 13 countries it was originally released in, you should be able to get the Xbox stuff. Just saying.
That
was what the blog post said.
Okay.
And I trust Major Nelson.
Oh, yeah. He's my go-to source for that sort of stuff. So I had three beer. Two of them were Heineken's. They were what they had available as an exotic beer in the Don Draper Hotel that I was in.
Okay.
I ordered a pizza.
Were they serving PBR?
No. They had Heineken, Bud Light, Coors Light, and that's it.
Just Coors Light, not Coors?
No, Coors Light.
See, if you were going to do an old school hotel, you've got to serve Coors in the original banquet can.
Yeah, so it wasn't an option. So I just grabbed myself a couple of Heinies one night with some pizza, which was good. And then my amazing, sort of amazing, wild and out there kind of beer I had at the airport. They actually have an Outback Steakhouse in the airport.
Yes, they do.
That's where I had my lunch. I had a Shock Top. That's it.
That's not all out there.
I know.
That's the pretty well
It was known. A very vanilla, plain kind of week for me for beer. And then the first question that I get asked by the audio engineer when I get inside the room is, what's the beer doing?
Okay, so last weekend before we all left on our various vacations/work trips, we did brew. We should tell this story because the brewing was awesome. We actually created a Scotch ale, another Scotch ale,
mm-hmm.
and the desire for Jay Shock, who is actually helping us brew this.
He's the architect.
He is the lead engineer.
Lead engineer.
He wanted it a wee heavy. In other words, he wanted a boozier Scotch ale.
Yes. Wee heavy means more alcohol content.
Correct.
He's done.
So in the process of brewing this, we did a ton of research beforehand. As we were brewing, we were very concerned about the gravity, which is the sugar content of the beer, as it came off of the grains and before it was boiled, before the wort was boiled down.
Right.
It was low. So we added some brewer sugar.
Some malt.
Yeah. Right. Sorry, malt.
It's all right.
Sugar. That's essentially what it was, right?
It's a concentrated malt, which
Correct.
Increases the sugar content.
Right. Right. And we only added about half of the bag.
Did we?
And then the first time we did.
Oh, we dumped the whole thing in eventually.
Yeah, because we took a second reading and we're like, wow, it's still really low. Let's just dump the whole thing in.
Dump the whole thing in, and then it boils for 90 minutes.
Yeah.
And then the volume goes down and becomes
Correct.
More concentrated.
Yeah.
So the
to which,
if I remember correctly, the first reading we did, it was at 1070.
It was like 10.6 something.
So 10.6 or 10.7, which would be low for what it was supposed to be.
Right, because we were targeting like 10.8.
And then when we finally racked this whole thing off, it came out as a 1090. 1092 or something like that.
1092, yes.
So
way high sugar content.
It's a way heavy. Not a wee heavy, it's
a way heavy.
So the yeast has been happily and merrily working away, and before leaving, I did a measurements, and it came out as 10:30, which I can figure out the math and do that stuff if I wanted to tell you what the potential alcohol was. But basically, it kind of stalled at that point. And so,
oh, it's only 10:30. It only went down to 10:30.
It's supposed to go down to 10:02 or 10:01.
Yeah. Like
10:01 is a dry beer. 10:02 is a kind of a sweet beer.
Yeah.
Typically, your Scotch ales are around the 10:02 range, or 10:20 range. So so we threw some activator and spun it around for a while, and then put it in and all that sort of stuff. And the first thing he asked me is, "What's the beer at? How's the beer doing?" I'm like, "I didn't even look last night." So he's gonna have to wait till I get home, and I'll take a picture.
So you added another round of
no more yeast. This is an activator,
right?
So an activator basically
reactivates
goes in
the yeast that's already there.
It doesn't do any more sugar because it has enough sugar. It simply just goes in and does some, it blocks some kind of proteins and does some other stuff, and you stir it around and blah blah. Basically, it makes the yeast happy and start over again if there's any yeast that's not totally stone drunk inside that thing. So we'll see how it turns out. I'll give you an update on the next show. Potentially this weekend we'll have to rack it off.
So have you had a chance to check on the beer sickle?
The beer sickles are current. They were fully thawed. So yes, the three beer sickles, the 14 gallons of
did we tell that story on the last
Moritz
show?
I think we did.
Yeah, I think we did as well, where we basically froze the beer.
Yeah. I froze the beer
coming
back from Barcelona in my sick and altered state of fevers and temperatures and jet lag. Three fully, thoroughly frozen kegs of beer thawed nicely and have now been lagering.
Did it damage the carboys, do you think?
Well, I don't know if those carboys will hold pressure anymore. We'll find out. But the good thing is they had enough headspace inside them, so they're probably okay. We'll find out. So I'm literally just leaving them. They're in a fermentation chamber, merrily sitting at 37 degrees, and they're staying at 37 degrees probably for another week or two, and then eventually I'll take one out and sample it. But not there. The last beer that we can check in on, since this is a whole segment talking about it, is the Trippel.
Yes,
the Trippel.
Now the Trippel was the first time I have ever seen during the fermentation process. A beer essentially looks like it's at a rolling boil.
Yes,
there
was so much activity.
That was awesome.
There was so much activity going on. The Trippel's looking quite nice, and so I'm anxious to actually.
Now, do you have to lager the Trippel as well?
No, it's an ale.
It's an ale. Okay.
It's an ale. So basically, you just rack it off. I'm actually going to filter it. I'm contemplating, from a random spending perspective.
Yes.
I'm contemplating just saying screw it and buying a filter.
Well, that's only $10 or $12 beer dollar, right?
Yeah, it's about that.
Yeah.
So, we'll see if I can find a Black Friday deal, or I got a secret stash of beer cash that I can use to buy it where no one knows that it's happening. So
you probably shouldn't have just said that to our audience. Hey, and by the way, you know what? Let's talk about this. I can't believe I forgot to bring it up at the beginning of the show.
What, man?
I have to thank everybody out there who listens, and particularly those people on Facebook who like the Patch and Switch show, because we reached 1,000 likes on our Facebook page this week. So special shout out to everybody there. And the great thing about this, we have never promoted the show outside of our normal channels. We do not run advertising. We don't run any marketing. So that was pretty cool.
So I think we need to have some, we need to, like, you know how the Seahawks have the 12th man organization?
Yes.
We need to have some kind of organization like that for Patch and Switch. So I don't know what we call them. But it's our listening audience. We have to thank the listening audience.
Yes.
The
hot fixes.
The hot fixes.
The hot fixes. Patch Switch and the hot fixes. That's actually kind of cool.
Hot fixes, a hot fixer, or the fixes.
Hot fixes. Yeah. Fix. I don't know. I kind of like that one.
I know. I was going to say KB article. I don't know. Doesn't work. No.
Maybe
doesn't
some
work.
People.
That's why we don't market this.
Tom Kupka, I love that comment. The Seahawks are still a team.
Oh, nice.
Ouch. Yeah, they're 6-4. They're still all right.
Yeah, so, absolutely. So, I was wondering, do we do some kind of, like, commemorative T-shirt again or something like that? Like, do we design? Like, we've had our first limited edition run.
Yes, and it was sold out. It sold out relatively quickly.
It did, but potentially we should do a commemorative T-shirt or something like that. Or, I don't know, stickers. We could send stickers to people if they want stickers. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I don't have stickers.
Well, you still haven't ordered any yet?
No.
I don't know.
I didn't take advantage of the fact that somebody actually created the icon for me. I need to do that. I need to reach out to our friends over there. But you know what? we could. We'll put it up for a vote. Those of you in the chat room who are not talking about football, would you like to see a commemorative T-shirt? What would you like to see on the T-shirt? Then we'll post it out to our 1,000 Facebook.
On Facebook peoples.
Yeah.
As well. We could do a strap poll or something like that.
So, yeah, I mean, in the way it worked last time, I want to say, what was the T-shirt, $12 or $14 or something? It was super cheap.
And maybe
I mean,
we should have it if we decide to go ahead with it, we could have like a little contest of come up with the slogan that goes on it.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, you could have.
Well, because the last time we did the intro,
you could be the dynamic creator that comes up with the slogan that goes on the T-shirt.
Okay, so K.O. Beckman is like commemorative Surface 3's nice try. I don't even think we have that kind of pull to get those made. You still have to pay for it. Bartolo says beer labels. Maybe.
Coasters.
Yeah, Cupcut says custom beer labels will be cool. Vizio MVP, a Surface 3 skin. We could do with the patch and switch logo, though I don't know how many people would actually get. I like the T-shirt idea. We would just have to. We just need to come up with something good because, you know, the last shirt was on the front was our intro, right? It's Friday. The announcer boy says it. Right?
I kind of want to have something larger in the back.
Guys are. Than just a small logo, really?
I think it should be larger in the back.
See, I like the fact that it was just kind of minimal. But that's me.
Are you happy with the quality of the T-shirts?
Yes, I actually am.
Because they have a higher quality than that one.
Yeah, they do, but that
one...
We
could go with a premium.
Yeah, but it's. I don't know that it was much...
My question would be for anyone...
Or J-Shock has the idea. Use the beer label as the T-shirt design.
That could work. So another option could be... I would be interested to find out, how have people's T-shirts survived?
Held up?
Yeah. How's our extended test working? For the number of washes, I'm assuming that everyone washes their T-shirts on a regular basis.
I'm wondering if I should just ban Esposito from the chat room now just for bringing this up. Man pre-design contest.
Yeah, not good.
Hashtag no man pre's.
Yeah, I'm curious to find out if that'd be a good one, if it's been a good enough quality, good enough print quality, if we're all satisfied with it all.
Yeah, those of you who got the T-shirts, and if you're listening to this on the podcast or on the replay or something, go ahead and post it to the Facebook as well.
Which is facebook.com/patchandswitch.
Patch and switch. 1,000 likes. But anyway, just wanted to shout out to everybody, and we really appreciate everybody who joins us for this now hour-long. At the time, it used to be 45 minutes. Now we're an hour of us just talking about nothing.
And we still have stuff to talk about. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, we'll
Bartolo says his T-shirt is in mint condition. I wonder if he's even opened it. If he thinks it's going to be a collector's item.
See, he's a pretty boy. He's got good looking clothes and good looking hair and stuff like that. And I don't know if he actually wears the T-shirts because he's designer kind of guy.
Yeah, so. No washes unworn. It's worth more that way. So at least I think the value of the T-shirt is now up to $1.380. So
maybe $1.480.
Oh, I don't know about that. First generation shirt. We'll have to think about something. Maybe we do something T-shirt wise. We'll
crazy.
We'll put it up. We'll put it up in the group and we'll see what people say. Patch and switch lanyards. Does anybody wear lanyards?
I don't wear conference badges.
Conference badges. Ooh.
What?
Oh, we can't do that though. Sorry.
Conference badge.
MPO. No, I was just thinking lanyard for the conference badge, but those are paid for. Those are MPOs. Yeah. So
yeah, I don't know. Hard to say.
We can't do that.
So how about do we switch on the next section, which is the random spending? You kind of covered it. I kind of covered it.
Yeah, I mean, I did buy, like I said, I bought that battery. Next item of random spending, I can't talk about because it is that season.
Oh yes, I know.
So there are things being considered for purchase.
Are you going to get me a beer bug?
No, this is not for you. I'm talking about the family. I'll buy you a cup of coffee I do every year.
Tradition. I want to buy a beer bug.
A beer mug?
A beer bug.
A beer bug.
Beer bug. It's new, a new piece of technology. I showed it to you.
Frog protection?
No. It's a beer bug. It's for making. It's kind of. We're talking about beer again. I'm sorry. It's a device that sits on top of your carboy.
Hang on a second.
That is what
Bartolo has it.
What?
Patch and switch beer opener.
Ta-ding, could be it.
That could be it. I don't know. We'll have to figure out if we can find somewhere to.
We need to see if we can buy less than 20,000 units
at
once.
That's correct.
Right?
To make it affordable, right?
Anyone want one of these damn things? who's patching the switch anyway? A beer bug is a device that sits on top of your carboy for primary fermentation.
Okay, no, that is like $150 beer dollars.
It's only $23 beer dollars or $27 beer dollars. But it sits on top of your carboy. It has a specific gravity sensor that goes inside the beer and a temperature monitor. It's Wi-Fi connected to a cloud service, which then has an app that tells you exactly how your fermentation is going and if it is starting to go down and settle and what the current value is. And I think right now, if our audio engineer, Jay Shock, actually wanted to, he could buy a couple of beer bugs and put them on top of the carboys, and he could stop asking me how the beer is doing. He would know instantly.
Well,
exactly.
See, the problem is buying one beer bug is fine, right? It's not that it's not that expensive to buy one.
It's $275.
However,
you'd have to get one for each fermenter.
Correct. And we brew 10 gallons at a time.
Yeah, so.
And at any given time, we may have 20 to 40 gallons of
beer doing various
of
different
beer.
Things.
So, yeah, we would need, like,
anyway,
six.
Random spending stuff. So that's what I would like. It's like a wish list. Actually buying any technology. You know what? It's actually kind of funny. I've never used a Microsoft accessory for the Surface.
Jay Shuck, why do I need to get a beer bug when I can just bug you?
Nice.
That's a good call.
So I've never used a Microsoft accessory for a Surface before. I finally did at this particular conference.
What did you use?
I forgot all my dongles.
Oh.
And I needed to project a VGA output from my mini DVI connector for video output.
Yes.
And the conference organizer had one.
Ah.
And I've never noticed before, they're actually angled.
They are correct. Yes,
I never knew
correct.
That. Yes. It's brilliant.
Yes.
Because it actually fits all the way in correctly.
Yes.
And so I used both that for mini DVI to VGA. And I also used Concentrator Greg's, Greg Shield's USB adapter, which also was angled correctly as well.
Yes.
It's amazing. I've never, I actually want to go to the store and buy them now.
So on my random spending, I am now pretty much committed to the fact that I'm going to get the display, the wireless display adapter.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just waiting for them to come in stock. They're out of stock currently. The MVPs came and just cleaned everything out.
It's typical.
But yeah, I've committed to that, particularly because it seems that every place I go to now has like LCD screens, like hotels. And like I would have liked to have had that available to me in the hotel to watch something other than the Disney Channel.
And
we were at the hotel.
I mean, the best thing about that is that it's self-contained. You plug it in and it's done, right?
Exactly.
As opposed to the one that I have, which is about the size of a hockey puck, and it has a separate power supply I have to worry about doing.
Right.
Like
that. Well, you still have to worry about, I mean, it is USB powered, but
there
is still power supply to it.
Not bad.
Yeah. That's my next item of random spending that I could actually talk about. Apart from the fact that I actually saw there have been some new things for my game of choice right now, which is still Disney Infinity. I'm still playing it. Some new characters. They had a Maleficent, who is one of my favorite Disney characters.
I am looking forward to spending some quality time with Assassin's Creed Unity.
Yes. Did you actually get to play it before you left?
No. I bought the damn thing pre-order. And
so that you could get it earlier.
So I could get it earlier, and I haven't even freaking logged on to it yet. So,
Bartolo, share. Anyway.
A little crazy. A little crazy.
I pre-ordered
Call of Duty.
So you could get it early, right?
I pre-ordered Call of Duty, and I pre-ordered Assassin's Creed Unity while I was in Barcelona, I think it was, to be able to download on the spot for when I got home. And I have not even played them. Both of them. I have not played both of those games.
Your kids probably finished all the missions.
My son's already finished Call of Duty.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow.
He's done. He's working on Assassin's Creed right now. I'm a huge.
Yes.
And I love the French history. The Français. I love that stuff.
Oh. I'm looking at potentially picking up an Xbox One over the Black Friday weekend because they are going to be cheap. We did talk about this in some offers and deals, and we talked about this when we were brewing beer.
I'm contemplating.
It doesn't really fit,
I'm contemplating a large TV. I'm contemplating a large TV. My wife says, "Why do you want to get a 4K TV?" It's like, I don't want a 4K TV.
No, you just need a larger screen.
I see I have the original Samsung TV that launched with Xbox 360.
Is that the one in the other?
That's
the
one
in the other
room. It's a big, massive freaking plasma.
Yeah.
Like the house lights dim when it turns on. But it's also only 720p. And so I'm looking like, where can I get myself the best deal for a cheap 55-inch
You're
going to want to,
don't wait until this weekend, next weekend. You're going to want to start looking up those offers now.
Yeah, so
just take a look at the ads.
I've looked at the Amazon, so they have their stuff up already. You can go off and get ready to do. But for me, it's like, there's nothing that's really at the nice price point of making it attractive, because they're pushing the high-end ones as being cut on price. But they're not really advertising the ones that are the 1080p, 60 hertz, or 120 hertz refresh rates. They're not advertising those ones. Like, I want to hit one of those guys for $300.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
Well.
Come on, man.
How does it feel?
Where are they?
Bartolo, yes, you are correct. $100 trade-in value for your old Xbox 360 at the
Microsoft
store.
$150 if you go to Best Buy.
However.
It must be the Xbox Slim.
Correct.
It
they
cannot
do not
be
take the
old
white
old
version.
White
which is the one that I have spare, because the other Xbox 360, the Slim version, is the primary Xbox device in the house. Yeah. And even though when we get an Xbox One, there are still games that are played on the 360, so it still needs to be active. So I can't just.
And I think the best way to go about this is with a Xbox One, having one as your home in one room, and the other one you have your primary account that's buying all the games, and that way you can run them on two.
Oh.
I was talking about DeFalco with this.
Yeah.
So basically, if you have two Xboxes, you are able to go in and have the software licensed on your own account. But then you also are able to have the software licensed on your home designated system.
Right.
Which means that I could be on the home system. Sorry, my son could be on the home system, and I could be on the second Xbox One with my account, which is licensed to play the same game, and we could play against and with each other.
Bartolo, I'm going to argue with you. $100 is not for any 360.
Yep.
We got to read the fine print.
If you go to the Xbox, if you go to the Microsoft Store website,
yeah.
It actually says, please pick from this list of pictures what device it is.
Correct.
And it's not as
they probably can't resell the Red Ring of Death white 360.
Nice.
Right?
It's got to be in working condition.
But mine does work. It's just that they don't want to sell.
We've got 3 minutes left.
We do.
We have to name the show.
We do.
We're done with RAM spending. We've done all five sections. We're all good. It's been fun, man. This goes fast.
It does go fast.
So
we have call to action. So we're going to put up a couple threads on the Facebook page. Go ahead and start it if we don't get to it today.
Yeah, Facebook.
Talking about what you want to
switch.
See is the special 1,000 likes item that we can offer up. If it's a T-shirt, what the slogan should be.
Yep.
Also, the show will be live. Let's see. I want to make
two
sure
weeks
we
time.
We in 2 weeks time. Yeah, we are. We don't have a holiday, so we're good. That'll
be
on
right
December 5th.
After my week of Azure stuff.
It will.
Yep.
So you're going to want to make sure. Hey, go ahead and plug that real quick while you have it.
Go ahead. It's going to be really cool at aka.ms/levelupazure. I've cat wrangled 12 engineers to come by and to talk on various Azure subjects Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, December 1st through 4th. Free to go sign up. Go do it now if you haven't done it. It's going to be awesomely cool stuff.
Yes. Do that.
I did.
Of course, my radio show tomorrow, housebeat.eu.
The bump.
The bump. Join me at noon Pacific time, which is 3 p.m. Eastern time, which is 8 p.m. UK time.
We need three words.
Three words.
We got one. I see Xbox.
Xbox. I see DSC. And then I see Cheektowaga. Let's go with that. Write those down.
Yes, I got
take,
it.
Take notes.
Notes.
So it's Xbox, DSC, Cheektowaga. And Jay Shock has posted the link to the Level Up event, which is December 2nd, right?
First, second, third, fourth.
I will also be taking part. However, I will not be on camera.
Nope.
I'll be behind the scenes.
You got it.
Making sure that you're actually
you're pulling
doing
the strings
something.
To make sure we all work correctly.
Well, I don't know about that.
90 seconds.
90 seconds.
Man, the band is late. Where's the band at?
I don't know. They're probably still out getting coffee. Hey.
Oh,
they're taking after you, my friend. Do you have anything else to promote? Is there anything else going on? Is there NBA going on this week? Anything we can promote there?
One was yesterday.
Ah, that's right.
The Windows 10 stuff with Niehaus.
So you're going to want to make sure you check out Level Up Azure. The registration is getting full on that one as well.
Yes. Very big.
All right. So now I need to... Where's the band? They're still not... Hang on. There they are. Guys, fire it up. There we go.
All right, so that does it again for another episode of the Patch and Switch Show. I can't believe it's been an hour. I want to shout out to everybody who joined us in the chat room. Angry John, Bartolo and Spazito, Frederick, J-Shock, Mr. Beckman, Harjit, Tom Kupka, who's a first-time listener, and Vizio MVP. Also want to shout out to Ladwig, who is wheels down in Orlando. Hope you have a fantastic time while you are visiting the Mouse. He's doing the Disney World Mouse, so he's going to be there doing that. We're back again in 2 weeks' time. Until then, please join us on the Facebook. Please join us on the Facebook. Give us your feedback. Like us. Follow us on the Twitter @PatchAndSwitch. Until then, have a weekend, everybody.